Hey guys, Walter here from SkullKnight.net. I just wanted to chime in some of my early impressions of Berserk Musou, or Berserk and the Band of the Hawk. That's a weird title. I still haven't gotten used to saying that. It sounds like Berserk's a character, so it's like Guts and the Band of the Hawk might make some sense, but Berserk and the Band of the Hawk, what? It just doesn't really make a lot of sense. Anyway, naming aside, I really have not been having a lot of fun with it. It's likely that you've heard the general consensus of this game. It's not really groundbreaking. If you've played a Warriors game in the past, such as Dynasty Warriors, or any of the other licensed games, such as Hyrule Warriors, or the Fists of the North Star, or there's a One Piece one, there's an Arslan one, they've been doing these for a while. And I think most people have said that Berserk seems to fit pretty well, given that Guts regularly, you know, slashes, you know, dozens of people in each fight. The difference, of course, is that when I say dozens, it's in this game, it's more like 600 or 700 to 1,000 per fight, in the way the Musou does it. Anyway, in combat, it's really jarring to me. This is probably totally normal for people that have experience with these Warriors or Musou games, but the average cannon fodder enemy that you come across, they won't attack you. They will just sit there, kind of waving their spears or their swords at you, and they won't actually attack you. I'm playing in normal mode. When you boot up the game, it tells you, you know, you can play on easy mode. Easy mode is the quickest way to progress the story, if that's what you're in. So it's kind of encouraging you, play on easy mode. I'm like, fuck that. I want to have at least some kind of challenge, otherwise why am I playing this, necessarily? But I played on normal, and even that's hilariously easy for the vast majority of the game, at least from my experience so far. Anyway, the enemies won't touch you, and there will be archer enemies, right? And you'll see them on the hill, and you'll kind of sit there and see if they'll fire even a single arrow. No, they'll just sit there and fucking just point their arrows at you. You can get close to them, you can walk up and inspect them. They'll just kind of jostle about. You know, your job is, I guess, to slice through them, but why exactly? I figured out many an hour or so into the game, those cannon fodder enemies are there to boost your frenzy gauge. So the game basically, they are there so you can slash through them to boost your gauge and then use the frenzy meter on the actual, you know, quote-unquote bosses in each stage. And a boss can range from an actual boss, like Wild or Zod or something like that. I would call those real bosses, right? Or the stage bosses, which are more like they picked a character model from the cannon fodder enemies and gave them a little bit more health and made them slightly more aggressive. And let's call that the boss of the stage. You know, yippee. It's just a really strange thing to me that there are literally hundreds of, actually, it's probably an endless amount of enemies per stage that literally exist to die with no challenge, really. It's like dipping your sword in a pool of anger. They may as well have had that be the gameplay concept, as you, oh, gotta dip my sword in this anger pool over here, and then suddenly you have frenzy mode unlocked, hit the B button, and you have a frenzy gauge for, you know, between 15, 20 seconds or whatever it is. Smash on X for that level. The combo gauge for this game, rather, the moveset is laughable. It says X, 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 X. And occasionally you can hit Y if you want to. It's optional. You can do X, 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 Y, or X, 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 Y, for example. Fucking fascinating. The diversity of combat. Yeah, you can generally get through the game by jamming on X if that's your thing. Y is a slower, stronger attack. I don't generally need it to be stronger. It's a good way to cut through enemies, really. It's more of a traversal thing, I guess. But yeah, it's combat is a little stilted, I would say. I'm trying to focus on some of the positive things that I like about the game. I think once you've powered up your character a little bit, once you've leveled up Guts significantly, I'm at level 15 now, I wouldn't call that significant, but to the point where I'm at now, once you're able to get his, what do they call it, the frenzy gauge up, it's basically, you know, you call it like a limit break, right? You get hit enough or you hit people enough that your bar fills and you unlock this mode that makes your strikes more powerful. And not only that, they the sound design, the effect of your sword visually looks way cooler, so that you feel more powerful and you already were super powerful. That's fun, and that's actually kind of like the formula that I think this game relies on, is you feeling a little, let's say, relatively disempowered when you're not in frenzy mode, and then building up the bar and unleashing frenzy mode. That's kind of the gameplay loop, at least from my perspective in this first, 2 hours or so of play. The trouble is, it's like they know that that gameplay loop is kind of hollow and doesn't have very long legs in terms of how long you can withstand playing something like that, where you're just slashing through mindless, literally nameless enemies for, minutes on end. Because they break up the stages in chunks of, it takes between 6 minutes to like 15 minutes per stage. It becomes a really choppy experience because you're slashing through, 700, 800 people, and then you reach an arbitrary endpoint to the stage. And then you go to this menu screen. It has a nice backdrop showing some of the characters that are associated with that part of the arc. Say the Golden Age arc, you would have Carcass, Pippin, Rickard, Griffith, Casca, etc., Judo, milling about, whatever the scenario is. Details like that are nice, and in fact, between the stages, you're given this new mode, I can't call it new, a different mode, where you can have these really brief, talking like 6-sentence cutscenes between characters, where they're just kind of like talking about stuff. The thing is, like, I thought that would be really embarrassing to read Guts teasing Carcass about his love life. Just on paper, that sounds kind of wacky, and it certainly is. I thought it would be grating to me, someone who knows the characters pretty well. If they step out of bounds even slightly, then it would really bother me. But no, it's goofy shit. It's funny. I like it a lot. In fact, it's probably what I like most about the game, is this seeing these character interactions, these totally fan-fictionalized or non-canon, if you will, series, but I don't know. It's fun. You gain nothing from that other than a sense of the characters, and that's nice because without those scenes, I think the dialogue and the CG cutscenes that they give you are pretty stilted. Except for when it's not. There are one or two scenes so far of the 8 or 10 cutscenes that I've seen so far that really, like, wow, they actually evoke some genuine emotion there. I think it's because they hew really closely to the actual dialogue in the series. Sometimes they're able to reproduce some of the emotion from the manga via the anime in a way that actually makes it's coherent. And seeing it in this new 3D game format, it actually, it works, and that was surprising. I don't have a lot left positive to say about this game, guys. I'm trying. Honest impressions, it's really monotonous. I struggle to think how someone could play this game as thoroughly as it seems to want you to play it to unlock a lot of the character skins. For example, one of the most highly coveted costumes in the game, it's not even really a costume, you call it a character mode, right, is playing as Femto. I mean, how fucking rad would that be, right? Like, squashing, enemies into a little ball, having the power of a god hand. That sounds fucking sweet. Of course I want to play as Femto. How do I do it? Oh, it's pretty simple, actually. You just play through the entire game, and you 100% each level. That is, achieving all the optional mission objectives for each stage, and there are a shit ton of stages. Do that 100% with every character. So beat the entire game with Guts, great. You are about a tenth of the way through the completion of Femto's skin. I have never in my life heard of such an insane achievement. That's got to be like 200 or 300 hours of time investment to unlock that. Now, it is entirely possible that I'm misunderstanding the actual qualifications of unlocking that. That is the way that it was described to me, and I've seen it in a couple places. It seems to me that you have to play through the entire game, 100% completion in each stage, with each individual character, which is just insane. I'm just going to probably use Cheat Engine, which is a software you can use on Steam to break games with cheat codes, basically. And I'm guessing something like that will eventually exist, that'll allow you to basically hack out the ability to play Femto. I do know that when the Japanese version came out a couple months back, people were able to basically hack the game and play as some of the non-playable characters, such as Skull Knight. That's pretty awesome. Usually, Skull Knight is a non-playable character that appears in the Eclipse mode. He plays alongside you as a kind of a companion character. Eclipse mode is Endless Eclipse is the name of it, I think. It's basically a wave mode, right? Horde mode for Gears of War. So, endless waves of enemy come at you. Well, I say endless, it's per stage, and you advance the stages, and then another wave comes, or whatever. And you have these really convoluted objectives from throughout the series. For example, I started in Endless Eclipse mode. Skull Knight joins me, and he's guiding me through, right? I'm playing as Young Guts, mercenary-aged Guts, so 14 or so, before he joined the Falcons. Has a long, awesome, stylish scarf, right? And the mission objective is to fight alongside the Skull Knight while rescuing Bazuzo, who's gotten himself into a jam here at the Eclipse, and he's being attacked by apostles and, undead people. Great. Remember that time, guys? Remember that time in the Golden Age when Guts entered the Eclipse with the Skull Knight to rescue Bazuzo? Yeah. It's obviously a little off script there, but they're just kind of playing within existing concepts and then stretching it out as much as they can. I guess that's what they do. At a certain point, it's just kind of like fucking whatever, you know? I did have a lot of fun playing as Zod in Endless Eclipse mode. Zod has obviously really powerful attacks, and I believe at some point you can transform into his apostle form. I have not been able to do that yet. But anyway, that's just an additional mode in the game you can play independent of the story, and you can actually, progress your character's levels in Endless Eclipse mode a little quicker and more efficiently than you can in the story mode. You're also not interrupted as much by story scenes and things like that. The story mode itself, as I understand it, covers a significant portion of the series, the vast majority of it, I would even say, from effectively volumes 1 through 32. Yeah, 32. It covers, starting chronologically from the Golden Age through, all of the Golden Age, much of the Conviction arc, then it will jumps back to the fight with the Snake Apostle, then to the Slug Apostle, or the Count, rather. Jumps to the Conviction arc with Roshin, Lost Children, all that. Mozgus, the Tower of Conviction, straight through the Millennium Falcon, all the way up to Ganishka's Fog Form in Vertanis. That's a lot of material. I don't even know how long a completion of the game would take at the rate that I'm going, which feels really slow. I'm not even at Doldry yet, and I've been playing the game for 2 hours, if that's the case. Wow, it's a long game. I'm going to guess 30, 40 hours or so. But the pace of things could speed up. But anyway, kudos to them for including so much material in one game. I mean, that's really significant. One other thing about the story mode that I've not mentioned yet, I guess a lot of people keep forgetting to mention this because it's a very throwaway, like, of course they would kind of detail, is because between scenes for the Golden Age arc section of the game, they show you cutscenes from the Golden Age arc movies. Many of them, you will come across these, for me so far, between each stage. I'm like stage 8 or so 7 cutscenes from the anime. I guess it makes some sense for people that aren't familiar with the story. And it also is a way for them to trim their budget, right? You don't have to reproduce these scenes in the game. They just throw in, literally drop in, Zod fight.wmv into the game, and there you go. That explains the context of the Zod fight, and then you can go ahead and hit start to skip the scene and drop you into the game where you're just fighting against Zod in the game. So that's how that stuff generates was. I've been skipping those scenes. I don't really need to see that. I believe it's not dubbed either. It's subtitled, which is fine by me. Speaking of which, the translation of the game is pretty bad. Really strange use of words. Like, whenever you start the game, the very first stage, you get a pop-up screen, 4 pages long or so, and it says, it's titled, Operating Guts, as if you were learning reading the Guts manual and learning how to drive your new model of Guts tank. Operating Guts. You also get one for Operating Casca, Operating Griffith. Just a weird choice of words. And it doesn't really, stop you from enjoying the game, but that's just the tip of the iceberg. There are many weird translation issues. That being said, as soon as I found the game's glossary or dictionary, I can't remember exactly what they call it, but, it's a listing of all the, it's basically the Berserk Encyclopedia's glossary section reproduced, in the game form. And I went through all the entries the first night that I had the game, and I was really surprised how accurately they represent some of the more nuanced parts of the series, like describing the astral world, describing the physical world, describing the Skull Knight's mysterious background, what the God Hand are, what the Behirit is, what apostles are, etc. All these things. There are some key omissions, like the Vortex of Souls. Do they really? But other than that, they saliently explain some of the more complex parts of the series. I was really impressed by that, and surprised, honestly, given how kind of ham-fisted their whole approach to this game has been. In other details, to nail an explanation like the distinguishing factors of the astral world that not only inhabits undead souls, but also spirits, or the ego of other creatures that aren't part of the physical world anymore, but exist as a part of, humans' collective consciousness from back in the day before they were basically exiled from the physical world. So, things like that. They explain all that kind of stuff, which is like, wow, they actually went there and bothered to do that, which is great. Berserk certainly benefits from explanations of things like that. I don't think they're going to explain that kind of stuff in the game itself, so it's good that they afforded a little codex for that. I'm not sure how much more I'm going to play of the game. I bought it to support Berserk, and I got excited to see that it was the number one bestseller on Steam at the day it launched. That's great. That's fucking awesome. And the quality of the game aside, having anything Berserk-related in the number one slot on a store is, impactful with Steam. That's fucking great. Brand recognition, market share, however you want to call it, right? That's great for the series. The game itself, I've played 2.5 hours of. I feel like I've had my fill. I'm thinking about playing it tonight, and I'm already kind of dreading the possibility of spending more time doing it, so I don't know how long that's going to last for me. But really, honestly, wait for a sale for this game. I would not pay $60 if I wasn't insane about Berserk. If you're on the fence about this, if you've heard other people's impressions and you're wary, wait for a sale, man. It's a Steam game. It's going to go on sale. It's going to go on 50% off within, 3 or 4 months or so, I would guess. The next sale probably will happen whenever spring arrives. They generally do seasonal sales like that. So look for a sale in April or so, and then check out the game that way. Or watch a few YouTube clips and see if it's for you. That's it. Just wanted to lay in my impressions of Berserk Musou with a little bit of time under my belt. That's pretty much it. I just wanted to share some of my impressions about Berserk Musou or Berserk and the Man of the Hawk now that I've had a few hours under my belt. Thanks for listening. If you've listened all the way, I appreciate it. And we'll be back. I will be back with the next Berserk podcast a couple weeks from now. I will say, if we hear anything Berserk news related, I would like to record a special podcast celebrating that and kind of commemorating that the series is coming back and talking about our expectations for Casca, which I feel like we've done every podcast since 346, 347, but that well's not going to run dry for a while, so we're all very excited about what's happening, what's going to happen soon. So anyway, look for that in the next few weeks, but otherwise, stay tuned.